Hey everyone, this is Nick. Thanks for joining us for the Circuit Riders podcast. To know us, we are a YWAM missions community here in Huntington Beach, California, with a passion to save the lost, revive the saved, and train them all. This podcast is from our Circuit Rider experience, which is a 7-month discipleship training school. Hope you enjoy.
All right, we're rocking and rolling the unoffendable heart. Who's excited to keep rumbling their unoffendable heart? Who would like this to be a lifelong culture, the unoffendable heart? Yeah. How many think this could be a useful lifestyle when you get married? Yeah. Maybe helpful in the dating process too. Yeah. Maybe parenthood one day, unoffendable heart parent. Yeah. Nothing scarier than an offended mom or dad. Lord knows, all right. Okay, next week, we're going to dive more into some of these subjects. This is not the only moment that we're going to talk about kind of the painful things that are happening in our life. It's so important that you build a robust worldview of how do we deal with pain in life. It shouldn't just be a quick stopover to get to all the other subjects. It's such an ever-present reality. So next week is Freedom Week. Do I have it right? So get ready for all the feels next week. All right. The culture of the surrendered heart. Look at your neighbor and say, are you surrendered? All right, I want to take you into this moment really quick. So there's always an argument of like, what is the root of all sins? And theologians argue about what is the real root in when Adam and Eve sinned. And usually there's three things that is an argument. Number one, someone will go, well, they sinned because they fell into unbelief because they believed that God was withholding them. And unbelief paved the way for them to sin. Then some theologians just say it was because they were pride. They wanted to be like God. When they decided to have pride is when they then fell into sin. And the third one is that they go, they were just rebellious. They decided to rebel from God. Here's the zone. I think that there may not be a root of all sins. I'd probably be on the pride zone. But it's also connected, it's so intertwined in the heart of man, is our disposition to not believe who God says he is, to not trust who he says he is, pride, and then not to obey what he's asked us to do, which is where rebellion comes in. The opposite of the surrendered life is the rebellious life. And the goal of all of us as believers is to become hear and obey Christians. Hear and obey Christians. What did Jesus do? Everything he saw the Father do. The recipe for successful ministry is hearing and obeying. We want God to give us a 10-year plan. He just wants us to hear and obey. We want a bunch of guarantees from God. God just says, hey, wake up tomorrow. I'll let you know what we're doing then. It's the hear and obey lifestyle. And there's something in the human heart that we kind of, actually we don't like to obey. I mean, we even hate that word, obedience. Like, doesn't that sound like swearing in Gen Z? Like tonight, I just want to say all of you need to obey. Everyone's like, heck no. Obey what? No, like we even have brands, obey, mocking, right? Are believing propaganda and fitting into society, protesting obedience. So obedience is the key for us advancing and doing what the Holy Spirit is. All of us need to learn what it means to walk into a simple lifestyle of hearing and obeying. We have a phrase here at Circuit Riders, simple obedience changes history. I believe that. I hope that in the next 5 months you come not just to know that, but believe that in your life because you see the fruit of it operating. Simple obedience changes history. Obeying God when it doesn't make sense changes history. Obeying God when it feels normal changes history. Obeying God when it doesn't seem epic changes history. Obeying God in the mundane changes history. Are you tracking with me? We want to look at some negative verses really quick, can we? Oh, did this just... this busted. Do you have another battery for me? Or no? Thank you, worship team. Can you guys all hear me for a moment? We want to look at some things that maybe are not so positive, some verses about the human heart. Now, the reason why we want to do this is if you don't have a correct view of how your heart works, if you don't have a correct view of sin in your life, then you're not properly equipped to go to war with the old fleshly ways in our life. Are you tracking with me for a moment? And so we want to look at a couple of verses. Do you got your culture shift? Lift it up. Show me you got it. Page 45, at the top of the page, Jeremiah 17:9. Can we all read it together? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Wait. Page 45. The heart is deceitful. Jeremiah 17:9. Here we go. Thank you so much. Check. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Wow. Bummer. Proverbs 14:12. Wait, hold on. Let's read that one more time and not say the heart. Let's say my heart. Let's all read it one more time. Here we go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. My heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Heavy. All right, let's keep going. Proverbs 14:2. Let's read it all together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Joel 2:13. Let's all read together. 1, 2, 3. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Galatians 5:16-17. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just the opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. Whoa. 1 Samuel 15:22. Ready? 1, 2, 3. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. So check this out. How many of you have ever felt stuck? And you are just stuck and stuck and stuck in this pattern and you cannot get out. Feeling stuck is related to rebellion. Confusion is related to rebellion. If you feel stuck in your life, it's usually because something in your life is not in aligned in surrender to Jesus Christ. And that is why you're not moving forward. And what you need to recognize from the very beginning of here is deconstructing rebellion, which is what we're going to talk about here for a little bit, is actually a wonderful thing to talk about. It's not heavy at all. It is heavy, but not heavy, because it leads you to freedom. How many would like for your life to be defined by victory? How many would you like to have an accelerated walk with Jesus? How many would like to have breakthroughs that take a month versus some of your friends that takes 10 years and they're barely broken through? How many of you, you don't have to say amen because I don't want to expose who you are, you would love to be free from pornography forever at the end of this experience versus making it a lifelong churchy battle of trying to get free of lust? All of this is linked to surrender. All of this is linked to obedience. See, some of you are in rebellion, and your rebellion is you refuse to believe that God loves you. And you're in rebellion. And so you're confused and stuck in life because you just think it's so holy to beat yourself up. I attacked you with the unbelief way. Now I'm attacking you from the other side. Right? Because we're resistant. There's a wrestling, the famous story of Jacob wrestling the angel. My wife was dropping knowledge on me 2 mornings ago. And she goes, isn't it interesting that the one wrestle where they're wrestling in the Old Testament with Jesus, it was in relationship to his identity. He's wrestling with the angel of the Lord, which is usually Jesus incarnate in the Old Testament showing up. He's wrestling with the angel because he won't accept his new identity. So Jesus has to pop his hip so he has a limp for the rest of his life and finally believes. This is how most of us grow. We grow through crisis. And so we only grow to the level of crisis in our life. Right? I heard someone say, right, no one is getting marriage counseling until their marriage is bad. Right? You're not getting counseling until you can't take your mental health anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? But all of this has to do with the rebellious heart, who is slow and resistant to change, where the surrendered heart is hearing and obeying, God, you said, therefore it's true. And when you begin to operate in that way, the acceleration that takes place in your life is unbelievable. Can you imagine if God just said to you, which he will, and he's going to continue to reinforce your identity all DTS long, and says, he says this simple line, you are favored. Imagine, boom, right there, if you live the rest of your life with the expectation that favor is going to come no matter what you do. How would that change your life? What kind of friends would you make? What kind of job would you think about having? What kind of future? What kind of husband or wife would you be expecting if you actually believe that you are favored? The Bible tells us we're favored. What happens when you actually begin to believe it? What if you actually believe that you have victory in Christ? Like you actually believe that there's nothing that you cannot beat and master in your life because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. We're going to talk about this in a few weeks on a Monday night. Self-control. The Greek of self-control means self-mastery. Isn't that crazy? Self-mastery. What if you actually believed that you could have self-mastery over the flesh? And you didn't live in discouragement. I'm always going to struggle with these thoughts. I'm always going to struggle with these patterns. But you actually believe, no, God's a God of victory. He is leading me to victory. And he's going to give me the strength to have self-mastery over my anger. Self-mastery over my self-condemnation. But all of it's linked with how quick can you throw up the white flag? How quick can you just surrender and receive? How quick can you say, Jesus, have your way in my life? Some of you, you're wondering what your calling is and you're wondering why God's not speaking. Two things, three things. One is he just doesn't want to speak right now, and that's real. He's like, I'm not on that subject right now. Go to a different subject. Two is he can't tell you because you would not believe him. And he's waiting for you to have a culture of faith to actually believe what he's going to tell you. And the third thing is he actually has told you, but you just don't believe yet. How crazy would it be, right, if you actually go, that resistant unbelief is actually from my heart because my heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. The only cure for it is the power of the Holy Spirit because of what Jesus has done on the cross to actually make your heart anew. It's amazing how your heart can talk you out of your identity in Jesus if you let it. It's amazing how some of you actually don't believe that you deserve to be blessed. You believe that you're bothering other people. I got a guy get mad because someone said that Jesus wants people to operate in a level of wealth. They go, that's the prosperity gospel. I go, all right, so does he want everyone to be poor? So I thought God wants to provide for our needs. Like I think God would, you know, like I have kids coming. I think he wants to provide a place that's awesome. I'm not talking about a Newport Beach 15-bedroom place for five of us that cost $27 million. I'm just talking about owning a home one day. What if you actually believed that God wants to take care of your needs? What if you believed that God delighted in you and would love to provide for your family one day to go to Disneyland? Like, what happens when you start believing God likes to bless? Doesn't the scripture tell us that if even sinful fathers know how to give good gifts, how much more does your Father in heaven? And how many of you would love to give someone a gift that blows their mind, but we don't believe, oh, God doesn't give good gifts? He only gives gifts of suffering so I grow closer to him. You make up this. No, that's not what the analogy said. God gives gifts that we go, that's a gift. That is crazy. Yes. My wife, can I read a text from my wife this morning? Look at this. This is what I got done with Greenhouse. This is what I opened up. I want to just stoke your future right now. Men of God, start praying for yourself. I want you to see what she wrote. She goes, love you. You're on fire. Me and Cal on the live stream. Holy smokes. That was one of my fave prayer sets. We are a revival couple. So grateful for your fire for Jesus. Can somebody say gift?
Yeah.
Right? So many of you are going to just run, so afraid of being alone, expecting the worst. Why? Because your heart is rebellious and won't just surrender to the reality of what God says. You got to see this. It's not a beat down. It's a freedom when you can actually just acknowledge. The faster that you can come and go that, oh, look at what does Galatians tell us? That what the sinful nature desires, these two forces are constantly fighting each other. And your choices are never free from this conflict. Sometimes there's just a freedom when you can just say, I'm at war. Isn't there a freedom to go, you know what, there's tension in my family versus just pretending it doesn't exist? Isn't there a freedom sometimes just going, we're not on the same page? And just saying that out loud just brings an immediate freedom. There's a freedom in acknowledging reality. Because what does Jesus tell us? The truth will set you free. So when you realize that that flesh in there is trying to talk you out of everything that God is saying, and the recipe is called rebellion, and the recipe is surrender, man, it gives us all a roadmap now of how we can operate in joy. Can we keep going? Yeah. Rebellion. Number one, here's some definitions. Opposition to one in authority or dominance. Open, armed, and usually unsuccessful defiance or resistance of an established government. An insistence of such defiance or resistance. Is your life marked with resistance towards God or receiving from God? Is the predominant narrative of your life a boxing match with the God of the universe? Or a life of yielding? I'm just like, dude, that guy's got a, dude, he's just like, it's an MMM fight, and you just go, you just lay on the ground and just tap. Or are you in there going for the chokehold on Jesus, really thinking you're going to win? Let's look at some four phases of how this rebellious attitude shows up in our life. Number one, it's just being straight up rebellious. Straight up rebellious. It's defined by so many different things. Let's look at some marks of how rebellion expresses itself in the scripture. Let's look at this. James 4:4. And anyone chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. I don't want to be an enemy of God. Rebellion expresses itself in speech that is critical of those in authority. A person's life being ruled by their own opinions and convictions. Anger as a result of not receiving deserved treatment. Relationships that lack depth. Significant relationships marked by control, manipulation, and power struggles. This is real. This is real life, man. Go walk into the average neighborhood and look how many of their people's lives are defined by these characteristics. Division and manipulation. Blaming everyone else for one's lack of fruit when the real issue is rebellion. Caring only for yourself, not for the benefit of others. Passive resistance to particular people in authority or to an established authority structure. Thoughts or efforts to discredit those in authority. Here are some common fruits of a person functioning in rebellion. Loss and ruin. Broken families and relationships, immaturity, strongholds of sin still fully in place, rewarding themselves out of impatience like picking an unripe apple off the tree, seizing opportunities for ourselves rather than waiting for God to hand them to us. Here are some characteristics that mark people who live in rebellion. Number one, they function in confusion. If you're confused all the time, just free yourself and go, I'm rebellious. That's why I'm confused. Because God is perfectly clear. How can you be living under the rule of King Jesus and not be perfectly clear? Some of you, you know what? Your confusion is a protest. Because God spoke, but you don't like what he said. You're in a waiting season of receiving. I'm just confused why I'm here. He told you, you're in a waiting season of receiving. I'm just so confused at what's happening at Circuit Riders. You're in a waiting season of receiving. Why don't you just surrender and put the white flag up?
I want to lead. I want to lead.
Cool. God doesn't want you to lead. He wants you to receive. They have disregarded previous instruction. You ever meet with someone, give them the keys of the kingdom of how they can change, and they don't change? I can't tell you how many guys I've shown them, hey, do this, and you will break free from pornography. And they cheer, they high-five me, and they don't do it. I got a guy who literally, his girlfriend broke up with him because of his knuckle-headed ways, because of his social media, and he deleted social media for one day, and once his relationship got a little bit good again, he reactivated it. They never learn. What's going on? Rebellion. They ignore repeated counsel from credible sources. This is a huge issue for my generation as millennials and a huge issue for Gen Z. Millennials, studies show, the observation is that we pick authority like a cafeteria. We go, I like you, you, and you. You're my voices. Gen Z, though, in the studies, they struggle to go, why do I even need an authority? Yeah. Wait, why belong to a church? I started my own house church. Why do I need to, someone's calling me, it's God. He's saying, yes, God? They need to listen to this? All right, thank you. Why listen to a Bible teacher when I can just make my own videos about the Bible and learn from my generation? I literally have a guy who made a Gen Z theology podcast, and his intro was, we want to introduce some of the greatest theological minds of Gen Z. Dude, no one in Gen Z has a theological mind yet. I'm getting a master's in divinity, and I do not feel, I just got like one of the first papers back where my professor said, good job. Right? I'm 32. Okay? And you know what? I felt I did a bad job. I felt like I was making stuff up half the time, but apparently I made up in the right direction. Right? There's got to be this humility that begins to set in. Because, check this out. The way that you are with leaders is the way that you usually are with God. So if you're always vetting leaders, you're always vetting God. If you're always resisting your house leader, you're always resisting God, because everybody wants a mentor that's just an advisor. Yeah. Who doesn't want an expert advisor that we can choose to listen or not listen to their advice? That's when a lot of times people come to me, they're like, will you mentor me? I'm like, do you want me to mentor you or do you want me to advise you? Those are two different things. Because I don't have time. I can advise you in this moment, but after this, you're on your own. I only have time to help work with people who want to implement what I'm talking about. Can we keep going? There is minimal application of truth. The fruit of rebellion is seen throughout scriptures. Let's look at some of the words. Stubborn, hurt, grieved, refuse, transgress, scorn, sin, test, disobedient, reject, profane, arrogance. Right? We don't want any of these things. Acts 26:14. We all fell to the ground. And I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. In the first century, oxen were used all over to till the soil in order to better manage the ox. The farmer would position a wooden shaft in such a manner that when necessary, he would use to exert pressure on the ox to press the end of the shaft into the flesh of the ox. Sometimes the ox would kick out at a goad or prick, and when that happened, the goad would be pressed deeper into the animal's flesh as a result of his rebellion. Is our relationship with God like that, where he has to apply so much pressure that you finally say, uncle? Or as soon as he speaks, it's like Samuel, Lord, here is your servant. I'm listening. Here is your servant. I am listening. The irony of this is people who are rebellious, they think that they somehow are staying in some kind of control and blessing their life. But the people who are rebellious are actually always missing out on the growth available in life. Like right now, there should be no excuse for any American not to know how to be successful in business. There are so many great business mentors online for free today. The only reason that someone's not successful is they're refusing to learn and implement. And so when we operate in rebellion, what we're missing out on is on the joy, the clarity, and growth that could be ours if we said yes. Don't be an autonomous Rambo for God. God did not save you to be Rambo. God saved you into a body. And worse than that, actually better than that, you have a specific function in that body. Some of you are a finger. Some of you are a nose. Some of you are a mouth. Some of you are an ear. The faster that you can accept who God made you to be in the context of the community, the better. The more that you want to be your own independent operator, your own authority, your own pick and choose. This is like the mystery of sometimes Gen Z will come to you and be like, yo, hey, like I love Jesus. I just am not with him on sexuality. Then I'm like, you're not with Jesus. Like, don't you, like this is, like that's a cultural thing. This isn't Hinduism. You don't just pick your truths and pick your gods. It's you're with him or you're not. You love his ways or you don't. Right? It's not like your family, like, hey, you love the Niners and I love the Seahawks. No, that's not how it is with Jesus. It's like saying, I'm with Jesus, I just don't forgive people. Then you're not with Jesus. Let's keep going. Now, this is where a lot of us find ourselves in. We aren't like outright rebellious. Like, I don't think any of you right now are going back to your community. I mean, maybe. I mean, I guess. It could happen. But I don't think it's happening. We're just out back, just smoking doobies at night. Ganja. The devil's lettuce. Right? Doing witchcraft from a witchcraft book at Urban Outfitters. Cursing Zach. I don't think that any of you are like in crazy outright rebellion like that. You wouldn't come to Circle Rider Experience if that was you. The main place that we are with Jesus is more the entitled phase. Yeah. Yes, but. Yeah. Wow. Yes, if. Wow. Yes, when. Wow. When Jesus just wants a yes. Can we look at the entitled phase here for a moment? Matthew 10, 38-39. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's look at some of these things. Here are some basic entitlements that will drag our process of growth out for decades. I have the right to say no to God. We would never say it, but we believe it. God, I'm just not ready for that right now. God is talking to us. God's talking to you through the scriptures, not just through your prophecy.
Yeah. Come on.
That's good. So is it yes if you told me prophetically? Yes if you've confirmed it through an encounter to me? Or is it I see it in scripture, yes and amen?
Come on.
God, you've spoken. Let's keep going. I grow best when everything I want is in order. If those things are absent, I cannot grow. Can you only grow when things are so ideal? Like, some of your breakthrough is in your house, but it's through a very unpolished prophet. It's through somebody who talked crazy and is going to offend you, but they're speaking for God. And they just don't know how to talk yet, and so you're getting the early days of their prophetic ministry. God, I only can learn from Zach. I can only learn if Nick meets with me one-on-one. No, dude, that's so lame. You got to be learning from everybody. Like, I learned, I got Bree Arden and Sophie Josephitz. They're both in their early 20s. They live downstairs with me and Emily at the Evangeline. Dude, I learn from them constantly. Constantly. You got to learn to learn from everybody. You know what I learned the other day? I learned that half of my outfits are bad. Sophie Josephitz helped me throw them away. Thank God for my learning. I have right to express my feelings, especially if I determine I have been treated wrongly or rewarded inadequately. Okay, our generation has a huge right to how we feel, right? And if we don't acknowledge how each other feels, we have the term gaslighting. Yeah. Now, here's the deal. There's a very important balance because I actually believe in gaslighting. It happens all the time. I believe there are space and there needs to be spaces for emotions. But there is a line that we cross when we have an entitlement that every moment that we feel something needs to be dominated by that mood. Right? Solomon tells us that there's a time for grieving and there's a time for celebration. Right? If everyone's celebrating, right? If we're just all at whatever, Ezra's house, because he just got a doctorate and we're all celebrating it. Is it time for everyone to come over and just for you to start dominating the whole party with your mood because you're going through something right now? No. Let's keep going. I have the right to use my time in whatever way I choose. I have the right to choose who I will talk to. I have the right to be critical. I need to have a position that is visible. When it comes to self-discipline, I choose when to reward myself. I will do what is asked of me as soon as other conditions are met. What characterizes the life of those in time? Refusal to change in certain areas of their life. We might consider these people to be stiff-necked or unwilling to bend. Keep in mind that resistance in a few simple areas can shut down growth completely. Number two, Jesus is seated on the throne, but seated right next to him is the self pressing for its own way. Three, the presence of rebellion virtually ensures that self-deception and confusion will also be present. Some common traits of self-deception include searching for ways or people to reinforce our negative behaviors or disobedience. It's crazy. Watch this. People with the same crazy sin patterns find each other in large rooms. Critical spirits find critical spirits. It's wild. Open doors of sexual sin find each other in a room. It is wild how they just, it's just like that, they let that spirit just guide them right over to whoever else is ready to operate in an unbiblical way. Like you got to realize this. It's crazy. It's gnarly. And they're stiff-necked and defensive about it when they just need to throw up the white flag. Instead of walking alone in whatever brokenness they have, they need to run to a leader and go, I am struggling with brokenness. I need accountability. You know what? Honesty moves the heart of God. I've had moments with leaders where I go, you know what? I'm sinning, and this is what's so scary, is I don't feel bad about it at all. And we've sat there crying out to God, God, I don't even feel conviction anymore. My heart's so seared in this area. God, soften my heart so I can feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit again. Like some of you need to have that moment. Your heart is so seared in some ways. You have zero bad, you don't feel bad at all for ripping someone to shreds in gossip. But you got to go cry out with the leader and say, God, clean up my mouth. God, clean up my heart. Whatever is going on, Lord, change me. Can we keep going? Hardening of the heart as we lose sight of the holiness of God. Isolation and independence. It's always funny. It's like, it's a crazy thing to me. It's always the people who need the message somehow disappear the morning that that message is being preached. It's like a universal thing I've seen over the last 10 years. We're doing a morning on teamwork, and the one person who is like a thorn in everyone's flesh somehow has a headache and is gone. Is it a demon? Is it chance? I don't know, but it's crazy. Don't be isolated. Don't be a loner. Don't just have one friend at Circuit Rider Experience. Have many friends around you, many leaders around you. Willingness to let others take the blame for our shortcomings. We're always blaming. See, we want to move out of this phase of entitlement. And we want to ask the Lord that we would begin to move into a season of overcoming. 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here's what I love about this. Is the overcoming spirit is what we're after. We're not after perfection at CRX. I want, like, let's just say you are really battling lust, and it's something that has held you captive since you were 7 years old. I want you to have a relationship with God, and I want this season not to be marked necessarily by perfection. I hope total victory. That's what we're believing for. That's what we're working towards. But overcoming. Where the white flag is up and you're saying, Jesus, I surrender and I yield to your ways. I want to grow. And it's not that you have a perfect track record. It's what Mike Bickle defines repentance on. It's declaring war on sin. Does the presence of that sin, is it passivity in your life? It's like you have a comfortable relationship. They live in the extra bedroom of your house. Or do you have a hostile relationship, though it's still in your house, though you're still working with it, you got a hostile relationship with how you talk, and you know it needs to change, and you're aggressively working to talk more like Jesus. You're aggressively working to beat back the lust. You're aggressively working to get rid of bias. You're aggressively working to have humility in how you see people. You're aggressively working not to operate in a critical spirit. You're aggressively working to get unbelief out of your life. Let's look at some of the things that the patterns that characterize somebody who has that spirit of overcoming. They have a foundational desire to please God. Christ is on the throne. 2, living intentionally to please God. 3, we have an ability to recover and move on after stumbling. I will not give up on breaking this pattern. Come on, somebody. We got to get some overcoming in our areas of our lives that we have gained defeat that can never change. Can I tell you today, they will change. If you will engage with the Holy Spirit, it will change. If you say, Jesus, give me an overcoming spirit, he wants to give you an overcoming spirit. Some of you don't talk. You do not share what you're thinking. And you know how you're going to get breakthrough? It's not just seeing it as I want to have a personality breakthrough. It's going, I'm in rebellion. God is giving me things to say, and I am refusing to speak, blaming it on my personality, blaming it on my disposition. I do not have the right to not speak if God has put something in my heart. And you are sitting in rooms quiet when you're holding breakthrough in your heart that God has given to you, but you're letting your house drown in circles going over and over and over again, when if you would just open your mouth and say, this is what God told me, you'd actually shift the atmosphere and the direction of your house, but you're not gonna get free unless you look at it like rebellion. You don't have the right not to speak. Isn't that freeing just to get that raw with it? Woo! I'm getting fired up right now. Brokenness that enables us to recognize and genuinely confess sin. Man, we got to be so, man, we got to love confessing sin. I know that's crazy, but we got to love it. We got to love it. Some of you got to get 10 times more honest. I looked at pornography. I thought about it for 4 days. On the fourth day, I said, screw it, and I did it, and I wanted to do it, and I'm grieved. And being that honest is actually going to lead to your freedom. Versus, I don't know how it happened. I stumbled again. No, you do know how it happened. The devil didn't take over your fingertips and type something on your phone. You did. You chose it. Time to get honest. Come on, that's the overcoming spirit. You know what? I gossip because I'm jealous and I've been comparing myself to that person and I wanted to cut them down and undermine them so that I could feel better about myself. Man, that's a crazy thing to say out loud, but you'll get free if it's true. This is great. We got to have some real vulnerability time. Some of us just go, I don't know. How did this happen? I'm such an angel. When you got to go, dude, my heart is deceitful. I fully engage it. I wanted to do it. I'm here. I'm caught. I'm embarrassed. I don't want to be in this place. Change me, Lord. Can you pray with me right now? We got to cry out to God to change the attitudes of my heart. I'm embarrassed. See, God can only come into the level that we're willing to be honest. You can only have the level of transformation that you're willing to really be honest about the root. The overcoming spirit doesn't just want to cut off the branches. It wants the root. Yeah. Man, some of you got to go down to the roots. Your dad has been angry. Your grandpa's been angry. Your great-grandpa's been angry. All you've known is anger. You are seething inside. You can act like a nice little church boy, but as soon as authority's not around, you are angry. Whoa. You got to tell somebody, I am angry all the time. I am angry all the time. I am so bitter. I get offended so easily. I am seething. I need help. I got to get rid of this. You got to just come forward and say what's going on. Some of you might be sexually confused. Can I say something? Yeah. And you never level with someone on what's really going and how you're struggling in your life. You got to level with someone. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to be rejected. I'm afraid I'm going to be cast out. I'm afraid I'm going to be judged. I'm not saying go announce it to the world. Go to a trusted leader, those precious things in your life, those intense things in your life, and share it with someone who's mature. God wants to move. Don't hide in your room by yourself with your deepest struggles and expect to have an overcoming spirit. The overcoming spirit says, this is who I am. I hate that it's the case. Lord, help me, and can you help me? Man, we're going to have some breakthrough in our community houses. Refusal to protest or claim innocence about areas of sin. What if we just said, I saw the dishes and I didn't want to do them because I knew you would do them. I'm sorry. Man, you become better friends if you can apologize with that level of honesty. Can I say, man, if we can develop the skill set of really being honest and actually authentically repenting and apologize, you're going to have a great marriage. Nothing better in a marriage than your partner confessing what's really going on. I just want you to know, I took out all my anger on you because you triggered me, and I started thinking that you're just like my parent who I'm mad at. It has nothing to do with them. And this is the magic sentence I say to Emily. I remember one time I got mad and I was pacing around a room like just yelling. I was going crazy. I wasn't really yelling at Emily. I just was yelling in general. And she grew up with a dad who would get blind rage and forget what he would do. Flip tables over, go crazy. And then he'd go into a room, come out and act like nothing ever happened. The room, the house was destroyed, and he would act like he didn't even know what happened. That's crazy. And I realized I'm walking around angry about some ministry deal, and I stopped. And I said, you know what, Emily? I just yelled and I crossed the line. We said we would never yell in our marriage. This is inappropriate. There is no excuse of what triggered me. This can never happen again. I take complete ownership of this for not creating a safe emotional place in our marriage. Do you forgive me? And will you hold me accountable? I'm telling you, when you say sentences like that versus like, sorry. Sorry. You don't know what I've been through. Quit judging me. Only God can judge me. Dude, I'm talking about an overcoming spirit. I'm talking about the surrendered life. I'm talking about deconstructing rebellion, of standing up in your life and saying, you know what? I'm not going to wait for someone else's surrender to be surrendered. I'm just going to be surrendered, period. You might be the only vulnerable person in your house for the first 4 weeks. It's not about, does your neighbor want an overcoming spirit? I'm asking you, do you want an overcoming spirit? Whew, man, I'm getting crazy right now. Principles that must be in place to break patterns. We're going to end here, and I'm going to give you homework. Clear understanding of how deeply we are committed to our entitlements. Revelations need to expose our sins behind each entitlement. Yo, some of us get offended just because we're entitled and we don't realize there's entitlements. We got to acknowledge we all have entitlements and it's not a beatdown. I'm going to give you homework on some entitlements, but I want to give you some homework of laughter. Of just going, this is so bad that I feel this way. God, forgive me. Like, look at, there's a list. It's so bad. Look at this list over here. Look how long it is. Rights I hold that need to be relinquished. Look how many pages that is. Oh, wait, it just keeps going. Oh, my gosh, exceptions. I'm an exception. Do what? Look at this. Do I feel merit special treatment from others? Of course I don't. Can I only be confronted at a perfect time and place? Hey, you know what? You know, I'm sorry I freaked out on you. It's just like right before this. You know, I had a pretty intense conversation. That's why I yelled at you. It's my bad. Versus, no, this is a great time. I have self-control. What are you hearing? I don't have a right to flip out on you. Deserve favored treatment. I work so hard. Why can't they just recognize that? Are you working for people or are you working under God? Are you a servant or are you a celebrity servant? Are you an influencer, sir? We're like, we only do nice things so we can video it. Like, we don't do that in our life, but all of us kind of want to go Mr. Beast mode sometimes, right? We're like, I did the dishes. Everyone celebrate me. No, just do the dishes and just go get a sandwich, dude. Okay, hold on. Let's go back. All right, number two, realization that we do not just fall out of patterns. We must walk out of them deliberately. Listen, dude, you didn't fall into sin. You chose sin. Yeah. We use that as such religious language. I fell. No, you didn't. Adam and Eve fell. Yeah. Yes, but they chose to eat the apple. It wasn't like, oh, whoops. The world's broken. No, it was a deliberate choice. You're only going to get free if you deliberately choose to be free. Recognition that sin patterns reinforce other sin patterns. Oh, Lord. Right? It's crazy how anger is connected to lust. That's for next week. There's no room for special circumstances or negotiation. Right? There's no room for you to have a special deal with God that no one else has. It's Jesus, I'm fully ready to rock and rumble. I'm ready for your heart. So here's your homework. Do you guys see this crazy page where it says rights I hold that I need to be relinquished? Yeah. Does everybody have roommates here? Does anyone have their own room? Yeah. Perfect. All right, with your roommates, you can do it as a house if you want. If you dare to do it with your house, it'll be real fun. Here's how I do the checklist game. And it just gets so overwhelming. It just helps drive the point home. It's so hilarious. Like, guys, there's going to be things I would check today and needed to realign. This isn't a one-time realigning. We're just making a point, right? So don't get like, oh my gosh, I'm so entitled. No, just more go like, yes, I'm entitled. This is hilarious. I'm going to change this. Right? Because joy should be how we're getting free. Not like just, right? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to read through this list. And for everything that's real, I want you to check the box and yell check out loud. So I want you to read it together. You can have one guy who's the reader. And you're going to set this. Let's do what? Can we do a couple together? Let's go rights that I hold that need to be relinquished. All right, hold on. Are we all going to receive the Holy Spirit lie detector test right now? Isn't it like Vogue does that? They hook each other up and they have to ask each other honest questions, right? All right, let's all put it on right now. Holy Spirit lie detector test right now. All right, everyone's got to participate and get embarrassed together. Let's look at this together. Let's just read through a few just so we can hear some checks. I have the right to know what will happen and maintain control when I feel overwhelmed. Check. I have the right to keep my property to myself and not let others borrow my things. I have right to excuse myself because I'm too tired. I don't feel well. I have too much to do. I don't have what I need to do a good job. I'm not in the mood. I'm not ready yet. I'm not gifted in that area. I have too many responsibilities. I'm not a leader. I have the right to hold a visible position. I have the right to receive recognition for what I'm supposed to do. I have the right to be bitter when my efforts are not recognized. I have the right to get along with and be loved by everyone. All right, there's gonna be some fun laughter tonight, I hope. Okay, if you wanna go supernova, who's ready to receive the supernova challenge? Do the exceptions one. That one really hurts. Let's do a couple of those just for fun together. It's the last, 55. Do I excuse myself from certain biblical standards? Ignoring sins of the tongue, quote, I slip up from time to time. It's no big deal. Discounting biblical mandates by saying they do not apply to me. Run biblical instructions through my own personal filters. Well, that was for them. It doesn't apply to me. Work ethic. I already do so much. I don't have to work a full day. Don't say check. Living responsibly, using ministry to avoid personal responsibility. The house is a mess. Spouse is not honored. Kids are overlooked. Assignments are not completed. Living with parents for longer than necessary. Oh, Lord. Right? Such spiritual masters that you can't do the dishes. All right, we don't want to be that. All right, let me close this out. Lord, we thank you for this morning. You're awesome. Surrender is so fun. Rebellion is so real. And it's so embarrassing. God, I pray for a grace to laugh at ourselves. A grace to just see the areas where we need growth in our life, Lord. And a grace to fully embrace the overcoming spirit that you have given us to by the Holy Spirit. God, I pray for such crazy vulnerability. I pray for such radical breakthroughs. I pray for lifetime breakthroughs, Lord, to mark every week of this school, Lord. Amen. Amen. Zach, I hand it to you.
you notice when he's talking about if there's things that you really just need to talk to someone about, he used the word mature leaders. And I'll just encourage you that if there are things that you really need to work through, talk through, find one of your house leaders, someone who really has walked with other people in that. Sometimes not everyone is at a level of maturity to receive what you need to really work
walk through.
Does that make sense? So just use wisdom in that. I think sometimes we get this, you get feel the pressure. Like, I just need to get in front of my house and just say it all. I would just encourage you
not to do that. Do not do that.
Don't do that.
Do not do that.
Find your leader, go that route. It'll be much more fruitful for your life and be much more joyful and more effective. Sound good? Okay, where's Gian?
Thanks for listening to a Circuit Rider podcast. For our full library of podcasts and more information about the Circuit Riders, visit us at circuitriders.com. To access worship, messages, and training courses, visit us at circuitriders.tv. To get involved with the day-to-day of what we do or see what's happening across the globe, you can follow us at Circuit Riders on Instagram. And finally, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next time.